Let's review a few things that we did yesterday and maybe expand on it. There's a shita here of Rav Ashi, Kula Rabbi Akivi, that the Mishnah, both the Reisha and the Seifa, the Seifa is clearly attributable to Rabbi Akiva. He's the one who says that in Nedarim, the Lashon B'nei Adam is to be interpreted based on what the Shliach would have to ask the Mishaleach. If he asks for clarification, what would be his mission in a fallback position where he can't get the exact object that was sent? Can the command of the Mishaleach, the Tzibri, the Mishaleach, can it be interpreted in a broader scope? And it would tolerate certain flexibility. So, for example, in the case of a Yerek, it would tolerate Delas, it would not tolerate Kidneos. So the Shliach would not come back to the Mishaleach and ask him, should I buy Kidneos for you? Because I couldn't find any Yerokos. That's for sure not Yahavim. Kidneos is not Yerokos. But Deluim or Delas, that would be included in this broader definition of Yerek, and that would suffice to expand the scope of the Neder to include Nedarim. So too in the case of Basar, if a person takes upon himself a Neder not to enjoy Basar, it would include Basar Chai of Yof as well. That's the Shita Rabbi Akiva. And the reason for that is because if the Shliach was sent to buy Basar, in event he couldn't find Basar Behema, he would be required to go back to the Mishaleach and ask him, what about Basar Chai and Oaf? That's Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Ashi comes along and says that even the Reisha could be reflective of the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. The Reisha seems to indicate that the Iser Basar B'Cholav applies to all types of Basar, including Chayav Yof as well. And the Gemara thought it's before Rav Ashi that that's against Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva, after all, holds that Basar Of is only Darabonon, it's not included in Gedi. Gedi in the Pasuk is only referring to the category of Basar Behema, not Basar Of. Comes on Rav Ashi and he says, you know what, let's read the Mishnah in a little bit more flexible way. The Mishnah is telling you that in all cases, Basar B'Cholav is Asur. However, it's not all on the same level. In the case of Basar Behema, we're talking about an Issur D'Oraisa. In the case of Basar Of, we're talking about an Issur D'Rabbanan. Now, insofar as Basar Of is D'Rabbanan, it's also the D'Rabbanan, the Mishnah uses the terminology Kala Basar Asa. Kala Basar Asa means even Basar Of, but again, when we talk about the case of Basar Of, we're talking about a D'Rabbanan. So that's Rav Ashi that we did yesterday. Let's point out a few things. First of all,
very difficult to read when it says that the Rashi says Kula Rabbi Akiva, and then says when we read the Mishnah, it will say Mehen Yehoshua Torah Mehen Yehoshua. That's really very creative interpretation.
It's like a push, you mean? Yeah, it's not the simple pshat.
It's not the simple pshat of
right.
The Mishnah.
So let's mention Rav Yosef at this point, because you'll be happier with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that the Mishnah surely is against Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah puts Basar Chai and Of on the same level as Basar Behema, and it's all D'Oraisa. That can't be Rabbi Akiva. But rather, the author of our Mishnah, says Rav Yosef, is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He accepted one Rabbi Akiva, rejected another Rabbi Akiva. With regard to the definition of Gedi, he rejects Rabbi Akiva. He holds like the Chachamim that Basar Of is also included under Gedi, under Basar, and therefore it's D'Oraisa. However, with regard to Nedarim, he accepts the position of Rabbi Akiva against the Chachamim, that in Nedarim we expand the scope of the Neder based on the fact that Shliach is going to go back and ask that question. So you're right, that Rav Yosef really wants to read the Mishnah in a very straightforward way. The Mishnah doesn't seem to subcategorize or divide up categories of basar into different sections, one d'oraisa, one d'rabban. Now I have one or two notes here that I wanted to call to your attention, notes of the Masifta, before we start where we left off. He has a note here to the following. He says, "Lidas Rav Ashi, shehemid es ha Mishnah k'Rabbi Akiva, shebesar of becholov eino elamid rabbanan, muchach lechora." We can prove from Rav Ashi, sheisu zed, this isu rabbanan besar of hu afla inyan bishul. Because again, look at the Mishnah, straightforward. Kol ha-basar asa levashel b'cholam. And we're clearly talking about all basar, including ov, which according to Rav Ashi's interpretation of the Mishnah, reflecting the Shita Rav Akiva, is only d'rabbanon. And yet the isur is an isur bishul, which ostensibly makes sense. I have no problem with it logically, because once the d'rabbanon considered basar ov to be basar b'cholam, then let's take the whole package. Let's take all the isurim that apply to basar b'cholam and superimpose them onto basar ov. Hence, there should be an isur bishul and an isur hanah as well. V'chein pasak ha-bach, and the bach in siman pei zayin, which is the siman of basar b'cholav, paskins that basar ov b'cholav is asur even b'bishul and even b'hanah. Which means, according to the bach, if you're in a cooking class that's being taught, let's say, in a chef school by Goyim, and they expect you to cook chicken with milk, you have a serious problem, according to the Bach, because you'd be violating an Issur Bishul D'Rabbanan, a Basar Ov. You know, in your mind, you're thinking, wait a minute, it's only chicken, big deal. You know, chicken is only D'Rabbanan, so I can cook it. But you can't cook chicken with milk, according to the Bach. Ulam, however, Das HaRambam, the Ram Perek Tes, Milchus Machol Sus Halacha Dalit, Shebesar Ov Becholov, Mutter Bebishul Ubahana, which means that according to the Rambam Shita, when the Rabbanon enacted an Iser of Basar Ov Becholov, they only focused on Achila. They chose Achila. The Afil Min Rabbanon Eino Aser Ela B'Achila Bilvat. Because of a Magid Mishnah, now the Magid Mishnah is going to try to interpret the Mishnah, our Mishnah, according to the Rambam. Because our Mishnah says, Kol HaBasar Asa Levashel B'Cholav. And the Rambam holds that in the case of Ov, at least, there's no Isur Bishul. So he writes that L'Dvar of Masha Omru B'Mishnah, and we're going again to according to Rav Ashi, that Kol HaBasar Asa Levashel B'Cholav, that includes even Besar Ov on a Derabonan level. Kavanas HaMishnah Yirak L'Inyan Isra Achila. So again, the word Bishul here makes sense with regard to Besar Behema. But the word Bishul should not be applied to Besar Chayav Yov, because even though Besar Chayav Yov are also been Rabbanan, but according to Rav Sheet, that's only as far as Achila is concerned. Now this is also a stretch, John. I mean, basically, I mean, if you're looking for a stretch, here's one. I mean, where does it say in the Mishnah that the Isur Bishul applies only to one of the three categories of basar? It says kol basar slavasha, which is really not true, because l'chatchila you're allowed to cook chicken with milk or deer's meat with milk. Even in Rabbanan there's no Isur. So we're like one stretch on top of the other. You know, we have the first stretch of Rav Ashi, that kol ha-basar, and we subdivide it into different categories. The rice and the rabbanon, the behema and oaf and so forth. Now we have another distinction, that when it says asa levashel, this too has to be subcategorized, and in effect it has to be restricted to basar, behema, bilvat. He says, "V'amai nokta Mishnah Bishul." So why did Mishnah mention Bishul? The Mishnah could have gotten away with Achila. Mishum shekeinu lashon haTorah. As we said earlier, if you recall, the Mishnah is always patterned after the lashon of the Torah. And since in the lashon haTorah it says losav vashel, the Mishnah uses that language. Avon be'emes mutal vashel basar of pechalav. Now, this is the way that the Magid Mishnah reconciles our Mishnah with the Rambam. There are other ways that we can reconcile the Mishnah with the Rambam. He says to look in the back. He has a section there called Yalkut Biurim. I'm not going to do that now. But then he asks another question. He says, L'chora Yipole. Yipole means we should be amazed. Madua Nokat Hatana Gvina Velo Cholov. Kifisha Pasak Betchilas Tvar. So we mentioned, yeah, this was Chaim's question of yesterday. You know, the Reisha mentions Cholov. And now all of a sudden it shifts to Gvina when it gets to the Isra Allah. Notice when you're putting meat on the same table, you're eating from that table, and there's also gvina, there's cheese, no mention of cholav. So the Rosh Hashanah has one approach, the Aruch HaShulchan has a second approach, and the Tiferes Yaakov has a third approach. I mean, many answers to this question. According to Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah chose gvina, not cholav, because since cholav is nozli, it's liquid, therefore you'll never put chalav on the table unless it's inside a utensil. And once it's inside a utensil, we don't have to worry that the milk will come in contact with the meat. There's no contact between the two, and so far as the milk is separated, it's protected in its receptacle. But gvina, olah l'shulchan mamish, gvina is a solid food, and therefore goes on the table as is. Here's where they instituted the gzera that maybe the gvina would touch the meat, and you'll have a mixture of meat and milk. Again, the Gemara is going to have a long analysis about this. We're not ready for that. But the point is that the Mishnah had to limit itself to gvina, because in the case of cholav, they never instituted this gzera. They're not afraid of any contact between the cholav and the meat. The Tiferes Yaakov, on the other hand, by the way, you know what his last name was? It's interesting. Really? I don't know of anyone today with that name. His last name was Gesundheit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Yaakov Gesundheit.
No, there's somebody who lives in his name. He's a doctor. His name is Gesundheit.
Oh, find out if he's a descendant of Tiferes Yaakov.
Yeah, such unusual name.
Do you know his first name?
I don't remember what it was.
Because if it's Yaakov, then I have no doubt that he's related.
Yeah.
He says that we would suggest the opposite, the exact opposite of the Rosh Hashanah. That surely you're not allowed to put milk on the same table with meat if you're eating from that table. The Mishnah wants to tell you a bigger chiddush, that even cheese you're not allowed to put on the table. In the case of chalav, which is liquid, and we're always afraid that there will be some sort of spillage, that's for sure you can't put on the table with meat. However, in the case of cheese, we might suspect that there's no reason for this gzeira because there's no spilling one from the other. So the Mishnah wants to teach us that af b'gvina shehi yevesha, even though it's dry, v'ein lochosh l'shficha, we don't have to worry about pouring it onto the meat, gozer. Now there's a Beis Yosef who takes a whole different approach to this. The Beis Yosef holds that there's a sakana, there's something dangerous about eating fish with milk. And therefore you would have had a hava mina that not only would there be an isur of placing meat on the same table with milk, there might be an isur placing fish on the same table with milk. And he says the following, that ein hasakona el b'chalav mamash below b'gvina. So the Mishnah mentions gvina here to teach you that there's a heter of placing cheese on a table together with fish. In the case of milk, you're not allowed to put milk on the table with fish. So since the Mishnah explicitly allows you to put fish and meat on the same table, the Mishnah had to mention cheese because fish and milk would not be allowed on the same table according to the Beit Yosef.
Now this is an eating table, you said, right?
Say it one more time.
This is an eating table.
Right. Table that you're eating from. If you're just using it for surface, you know, for what we call a kind of a smorgasbord, You know, now it became very popular. I saw it in many different places. I saw it in New Jersey. I saw it in Memphis when I was down in Memphis. What they do for lunch on Shabbos is they put all the food out on the shayish, you know, on the countertop, and then everybody's self-service, everybody takes themselves. So that would not be awesome because you're not eating from that table.
Wait, so this minhag of not fish and milk, so fish and cheese would be okay?
Fish and cheese is okay. That's what he says. Again, well, I'm not posking for you. I'm just telling you that this is the opinion of one of the commentaries, that fish and cheese is not a problem.
My father-in-law doesn't eat fish and cheese.
Yeah, I'm sure. This is all an attempt to understand why the Mishnah mentions cheese over here. And he's saying because in the case of cheese, the Mishnah allows you to put cheese on the table. He says, again, let me read it again. Yesh sakana b'achilat dagim im chalav, v'ein sakana elo b'chalav mamash v'lo b'gvina. This is not a halacha class. You know, if I was giving you a halacha class, I'm just trying to explain the Mishnah.
I need to ask about that, though, because I kind of learned that the minute was not to eat. Yeah, dairy.
Dairy, correct? Yeah, that's the easy way of going, obviously. Okay, Rabbi, so that's all a little bit of yesterday. Now we're ready to start a discussion for today, a limud for today. Usually remember, but now we're up to Kuvdalid Amud Aleph and the Asur Lahalos. You'll count up how many lines from the bottom? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And 2 dots.
Correct. Amar Rav Yosef. Shma mino basar of becholov deoraisa. Now, until now, Rav Yosef has pointed out that just in terms of reading the Mishnah, and the Mishnah doesn't differentiate between any of the categories of basar. Kol basar are mentioned here in one fell swoop. That would indicate that we're going like the sheet against Rabbi Akiva, that basar of becholov is d'oraisa. But now he's going to argue from a halachic perspective based on that Mishnah that the Mishnah must be maintaining that basar of becholov is d'oraisa. That's going to be his halachic analysis here, and this is against Rav Ashi again, because Rav Ashi holds that our Mishnah is discussing basar of as well, even on a derabbanan level. Now keep in mind, when we say that basar of becholov is also mirabbanan, that's what we call a gzera. A gzera means two things. It means a decree, like you're talking about a gzeras hamelech, the decree of the king. But a decree could also mean an enactment of the chachamim, because they're afraid that if they allow you to do X, you might come to violate Y. Om Rav Yosef, Shma mino basar of becholov deoraisa, deisal kedaitach derabbanan. If you would entertain the possibility that it was a gzera derabbanan, which means the following, that the Rabbanu were afraid if they allow you to eat chicken with milk, you'll be tempted to eat meat with milk, because you won't differentiate between chicken and meat. As we saw before, if you send a shliach to buy you basar, he may come back and say, well, I only found oaf. Oaf is also included under basar. So in the minds of the people, if you're going to allow this, And you're going to tell me, well, this is allowed because technically it's not this, which is prohibited. You might have a situation where people see that you're eating this because that was permissible. They may come to eat this, which is an Issur d'oraisa. So that's when the Rabbanan step in, and that's called Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. They make a fence around the Torah, and they're afraid that if we allow you to eat a mixture of chicken and milk, you'll come to eat a mixture of meat and milk. Comes along Rav Yosef and he says, if you're going to tell me that the entire enterprise of basar of becholov, of milchik and chicken, so to speak, if you follow my phrase, is only derabbanan and it's gzera, then I don't understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can't place chicken and milk on the same table. Achila gufa gzeirah. If you were to eat chicken with milk, that would be a violation of gzeirah, because we're afraid that if you eat chicken with milk, you'll come to eat meat with milk. Anan nigzar halah. Now we're going to go a step further and say, well, don't put the chicken and the milk on the same table, because ato achila, if we allow you to put chicken and milk on the same table, you'll come to eat both chicken and milk together. That's called a gzeirah l'gzeirah. That's one gzeirah built upon the shoulders of another gzeirah. If you would hold a basar of b'chol of his do'o raisa, then I have to make a gzeirah to make sure that you won't eat basar of b'chol. So what do I say? I say don't put basar of on the same table with chol. That makes sense. But if basar of b'chol, you know, the worst catastrophic scenario, he'll come to eat basar of b'chol and he only violates a gzeirah, because that might lead to the eating of a basar behema b'chol, that's called a gzeirah l'gzeirah. And Rav Yosef is going to prove from a Mishnah in Masechet Challah that we don't have a gzeirah built on another gzeirah. Now, just to give you a little background, what does it mean that we don't have a gzeirah built on another gzeirah? The reason for that is because the very fact, even the fundamental principle that the Rabbanan should expand the Isurim of the Torah and introduce and enact new Isurim, even that is something that should pain us, so to speak. That's not something that's great. The Torah says that these are the Isurim, and Bal Torah, you know, we don't add to Isurim, we don't create new Isurim. But the Rabbanan are authorized and licensed to create a new Isur under the law of Gzeirah. I mean, that's called Litzorach. Litzorach means some sort of pressing need. The Rabbanan saw a pressing need, and that gives them the green light to go ahead and create a new Isur. But that's an urgent need. You know, the Rabbanan say, if you do X, you'll come to violate Y. But to say that if you do X, you'll come to violate Y, and Y itself is only Gzeirah because you might violate Z. You know, you go from X to Y to Z, you know, you have a whole Chagadya of the domino theory. That far we don't go. That's not called Litzorah. That's not enough of a pressing need to allow the Rabbanon to make that Gzeirah. Now, Tosas Divar Maskil Umina, which is, I think, the third Tosas on the page, he has a problem here. The very next line in the Gemara starts with the word umina. And what the word umina means, and Tosas thinks it's completely out of place here, is from where, from whence. Whatever you see in the Gemara, it says umina or uminolon. From whence do you derive such a conclusion? And the Gemara is now going to travel through all the Mishnayos of Shas and come up with a Mishnah Chala in order to prove that there's no such thing as a gzeira l'gzeira. There's no heter, there's no license for the Chachamim to build another gzeira, an X on the fear of Y, when Y itself was a gzeira because of Z. And Tosis is bothered by this, because he says that this principle ain't goes in gzeira l'gzeira, that we don't build one gzeira on the shoulders of another gzeira. We don't need to find a source for that. He says, "Baharvi makomos omru b'gemara she'ain goes in gzeira l'gzeira." If you do a word search through Shas, you'll find in many sugyas the Gemara says ain't goes in gzeira l'gzeira, and the Gemara never asks for a source for that. It was just a given. The Torah allows you to make one gzeira, but the Torah never allowed the Chachamim or authorized them with license to go ahead and put another gzeira on top of a gzeira. That's already going too far.
There are exceptions to that, no? Aren't there right?
Well, again, we're going to get to that in our sugya, but before we get to the sugya, the Tosfos is saying, why does the Gemara say mina? Why is the Gemara looking high and low to prove that we don't have gzeira l'gzeira? Well, all over Shas, it says ain't goes from gzeira l'gzeira, and the Gemara never asks for a source for that.
Maybe we need one place to actually prove it first. I don't know if there's another place.
But why here? Again, you're right. Obviously, there's something here that's very unique, and that's what we have to figure out. He says the following. What the Gemara wants to prove here and find a source for the Mishnah in Chal, again, when I say the Gemara, I'm referring to Rav Yosef, is that Halah al Shulchan and Achila are considered two different gzeros. Velo Tomar, what would have been our conclusion if not for the Mishnah in Chala, That since when you put something on the table, what's your purpose? It's to eat it. So if he puts both cheese and meat on the same table, why is he doing so? You know, he's not just decorating his table because he's a, you know, he's an interior designer. He's putting food on the table and he's eating from that table because whatever he puts on the table, he has intention to eat. So don't separate halal from achilah. Halal and achilah are all part of one entity. And if that be the case, it's not a separate gzera. When they made the gzera not to eat basar of b'cholav, included in that gzera is not to put basar of and cholav on the same table. Why? Because halal and achilah is one and the same. It's called one gzera. So it's true that the Rabbanon have no license to stand up and make another enactment because it might entail, you know, you were afraid and suspicious that you might violate gzera. If we don't add this other gzera, it might violate gzera. But if the Rabbanon within the original gzera expand the scope of the gzera, in our case, the gzera was not achila, but it was anything that's l'shem achila, which would mean halah, meaning putting it on the table, is also l'shem achila. That itself would be the original formulation of the gzera. So it's true that Rabbanon have no right on Sunday to make one gzera, and then on Monday to stand up and enact a second gzera because of Sunday's gzera, and say that if we allow you today to do this, you might come to violate that, and that itself is only gzera, that they can't do. I don't need a source for that. That's called a goes from gzera to gzera, and that's all over Shas. But what I want to know is, what's the nature of halal? So show me a case where they asked achila, the Rabbanon, but they didn't ask halal. They said, you know what, you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to put it on the table, even though you're putting it on the table for the purpose of eating. And then he quotes again the Tiferes Yaakov, who says, Shematzinu baharbi makol shegor gzer l'gzera, zeo rak sheish chashash, Shall yidei zei yovo lavar al isa doraisa atzma v'kan ma shegozer al Allah enu mishum shechoshishim shem natil ol ha'osol so yachar al shulchan yitil lilmon mizeh shem mutar af liochlo biyachad u'memeli yesh ligzar shiyatir li atzmo gam achilas bosar behem v'cholav shevadai ein chasha shemachmas heter Allah yatir li atzmo gam achilah. So the Tiferes Yaakov introduces another element to the equation. We're not discussing the question of if you do X, it might lead you to do Y, but rather if we do X, you may come to the mistaken conclusion, you're a big Talmud Chacham, you employ your thumb, and you think that you're allowed to do Y. So we're talking about the mind of the people and what conclusions they might derive. And here's the possibility. You could say that if you allow halal, and people say, well, since you allowed halal, maybe I should come to the conclusion that you're even allowed to eat them together. What's the problem? The problem is that let's talk about the first gzera, right? That's basar of. If we allow you to eat basar of, you might come to the mistake conclusion, well, if I'm allowed to eat basar of b'chol, apparently I'm allowed to eat all forms of meat, even basar behema with milk. And now we could go a step further. We could say that if I allow you to put X and Y on the table together, you're eating from that table, then you're going to come to the conclusion that you're allowed to eat them together. And if you're allowed to eat them together, then you're not going to differentiate between behema and oaf. You're going to say, I'm allowed to eat basa behema ba'oaf. So this is the project of our Gemara of Rav Yosef to prove somewhere, in this case he's stretching his arm out to a Mishnah in Challah, that all these svaras are not true. Again, so there are two possible svaras here which Rav Yosef wants to disprove. One svara is that the original gzera of achila included halah as well, and the logic behind that is because why do you put something on the table for the purpose of eating? The second possible logical argument, which Rav Yosef is working hard overtime to disprove, is that you might think that the thrust and the purpose of the gzeira of iser of becholov is because if a person sees that you're allowed to eat of becholov, you might think that therefore you're allowed to eat all forms of meat with of, including basar behema. And if you're going to allow me to put it on the table with cheese, right, of with cheese, then it means that I'm allowed to eat of with cheese. Once I assume that you're giving me a heta because I'm allowed to eat them together, I'm going to conclude that I can eat all forms of basar. But the bottom line of all of our discussion for the last 5-10 minutes is the following. We're looking specifically in this case of halah to prove that halah is called a gzera l'gzera. The Gemara is not asking me, not tamer, how do I know the name goes from gzera l'gzera? That's a simple premise, and it's an underlying premise all over Shas. What the Minot Tamer is, how do you know that halah is considered a separate gzera unto itself, and it's not considered part and parcel of the original gzer of the Yisra Achilas of. Uminot tamer delo gazrina, gzer l'gzer. Again, in this particular case, that's how Tosus learns it, of halah, tisnan chalas chutz loretz. Okay, so here we're about to turn to Kuvdalid Amid Beis.
I guess I'm sorry, I don't fully understand how Tosfos is reconciling with this language. I mean, here, this seems to really be trying to say that you can't have zero.
Right, but Tosfos is going to show you that the Mishnah that's quoted here is a Mishnah of Halah. The whole subject of this Mishnah that we're about to learn is Halah. What are you allowed to put on the table?
So
what we want to know is, does the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera apply to Halah? And I'm going to prove to you that it does, meaning that we don't have a Gzera of Halah, and we're not going to swallow up Halah in the Yisra Achila. That's what we're going to prove for the Mishnah of Chal.
Okay, got it. Now I understand.
Now again, you and I, Eric, might have said that that's a little bit of a push. But keep in mind the question of Tosfos. I mean, what do you mean, not Tamra? Where do you find in Shas? I'll show you five sugis in Shas that formulate this principle of Ein Gozrin Gzera. We never say we're not Tamra. So you're right, Eric. Maybe this is the precedent. This is the first occasion. But why here? And Tosfos is saying, because here we have Halah, and here there's a logical push to prohibit Halah within the broader context of Achila, which is the original Gzera. So let's say a few words about Chalas Chutz Loretz, so we know what we're talking about. We have a principle which is codified in a Mishnah Kiddushin that anything that's a Chovas Karka, anything that applies to the agricultural produce, only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Loretz. And that's called, in the language of Shas, Mitzvah HaTluyos Ba'aretz, otherwise known as a Chovas Karka. The Chachamim, in the case of Challah, made a takana that even though the flour in Chutz Loretz, or let's say the grain in Chutz Loretz, grew outside of the bounds of Eretz Yisrael, therefore there is no mitzvah of Challah, nevertheless, we're afraid of Kedei Shelo Tishtakach Toras Challah MiYisrael. The Chachamim were very nervous about the fact that we're in Golus Nebuch, we're not in Eretz Yisrael over the course of centuries and millennia. We're going to forget the whole enterprise of Chal. Again, you can ask the question why they didn't do so for Truma and Maser. Very good question. But right now we'll focus on Chal. So the Rabbanan said the following, that just like in Eretz Yisrael, after you make the dough, or perhaps at a later stage, whatever it is, you take off challah. That's in Eretz Yisrael. So to Chutz Loretz, don't forget to take off challah. So there's a mitzvah of hafrashas challah in Chutz Loretz, but it's only midrabbanan. Now let's go a step further. In the case of challah in Eretz Yisrael, the status of challah is identical with that of truma in terms of the isur zaros, which means the following, that if I'm not a Kohen, if I has shown with truma, that would incur a chiv misa b'dei shamayim. We discussed this at great length when we were learning the third parak of Ksuvas. And the same would apply to challah in Eretz Yisrael. So for zari it's challah in Eretz Yisrael, it's identical with eating truma in Eretz Yisrael, and he violates an isur zaros. What about challah chutz loretz? So there's no question about it. If a zar would want to eat challah in chutz loretz, that's a prohibition. But again, it's only a prohibition on a derabbanan level. Right, the Torah says, called zar lo yochal kodesh, referring to challah, but that's only in Eretz Yisrael. So the entity of challah chutz loretz is derabbanan. Now, a zar certainly would not be allowed to have a meal that's made up of challah in chutzlar. It's no question about it. That's an isur d'rabbanan. But can he put chalas chutzlar? It's on the table. Like, let's say, for example, he invites a kohen to his table, and he puts chalas chutzlar. It's on the table. Are we afraid that he may eat it? So the Mishnah says chalas chutzlar. It's, and now we're starting. In other words, a Kohen, okay, I said it the other way around. I said that the Zar was inviting the Kohen. It makes no difference. But let's say the Kohen is inviting a Zar to eat on his table in Albany, New York, okay? So the Kohen is eating truma, meaning challah. And the Zar, the Yisrael, he's eating chulin. Should we be afraid that maybe the Zar might come to eat the challah? Now, in the worst case scenario, if the Zar would eat the challah, he only violates an Issur d'Rabbanan. And the Mishnah says, therefore, I don't have to go a step further and say, well, he can't sit at the table where we're eating challah, because he might come to eat the challah. Let him eat his challah. We don't have to worry about his eating the challah, because even in the event that he eats the challah, it's only derabban. So this means that the Mishnah is applying the principle of ein gozrin gzera l'gzera to the Isur Halah. And it's nechelesim ala shulchan. And we're going to have to rack our brains and try to figure out, why is it that in the case of chalas chutzlaritz, which is only drabbanan, there's a heter halah, whereas in the case of of bechalav, there's an iser halah, which is explicit in our Mishnah. Says Rav Yosef, the only way out, the only answer to that question could be one and the same, that of bechalav is doraisa. And our Mishnah must be reflecting the shita of the chacham of Rabbi Akiva, that of bechalav is doraisa, that kedi includes of. Because if you're going to argue that of is excluded under the law of Gedi because it's not Basa Behema, and it's only Drabbanon, then they would never have gone a step further of Halah. Now, when I emphasize going a step further, that's really the whole rub here of this sugya, is that you're going a step further when you Asr Halah. This is an extension. It's not the same thing. Do you follow what I mean? Let me draw two things. You can have Ha'Allah as a circle, do you understand, that we include Allah and Achila, or you could say that Allah is an extension, and it's really an Isur unto itself. It's not included in the original Isur Achila. And I'm going to prove to you from the Mishnah in Challah that Allah is an extension, and if it's an extension, then if the Achila itself is only Asur Midrabbanan, which is Gzeira, then Allah as an extension is impossible, because that would be Gzeira L'Gzeira. And it's not the way you said it, that Allah was part of the original, the scope of the original formulation of the Gzeira of Achila. No, Allah is not part of Achila. Allah is a separate entity. This is one of those sugyas that you can get really excited about, because, you know, you talk about lumdas. There's no way really of understanding the sugya without lumdas. In a daf yomishi, I don't know how you'd get away with this sugya. It's just impossible. Now, Agav Urcha, once the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Challah, the Gemara has a style that quotes the entire Mishnah in Challah. The next part, which is the Sefer of the Mishnah in Challah, is not really relevant to us, at least not directly relevant to us, but we have to learn it because it's part of the same mission. V'nitenes l'chol kohen sheyirtze. Now, what does this mean? In the case of Chalas Eretz Yisrael, which is Doraisa, we have to be very careful to whom, meaning to which kohen, does the Yisrael give his chal, or for that matter, his truma. Why? Because there's an Issur d'oraisa for a tamei to eat kodesh. And since truma and challah, which is truma, have the status of kodesh, so we need a special shmirah, special mishmeres tara, to make sure that the kohen is tar. Now, how do you guarantee a kohen is tar? So there's something called a kohen ama'aretz. A kohen ama'aretz is someone who is not careful about tumah v'tahara. The laws of tumah v'tahara are very complicated. and there are laws like Yadayim Shneios Lutumo, you know, we're not sure that he kept his body clean and pure and his hands clean and pure and so forth and so on. What about Chalas Chutz La'aretz? Does Chalas Chutz La'aretz have, you know, does it slip into the same pair of shoes as Chalas Eretz Yisrael and has the same restrictions? So the Mishnah says no. That Chalas Chutz La'aretz is different from Chalas Eretz Yisrael insofar as this halacha of doing a careful, you know, profiling the coin that you're giving the challah to. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to be very careful. You're not allowed to give it to any coin off the street. You have to make sure that he is not an Amoritz, but a Talmud Chacham. He's a Chaver. He knows how to be Shomer Satzma Mitaro. But that Gzera, which enjoins a Yisrael from giving his Truma, his challah to any coin off the street, that was not imposed in Chalas Chutz La'aretz. They didn't make this gzera that maybe perhaps the Kohen is Tameh. Why? Because even in the worst case scenario, if the Kohen is Tameh, it's not catastrophic because we're talking about something that's not even an entity of Chal as far as the Torah is concerned. It's only Chalas Chutz La'aretz. So I'll just read to you one line here from the footnote. He writes on the bottom that in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot give truma or challah unless the coin is known to be a chaver. A chaver is someone who's described in a pasuk in Nach, at the end of Nach, in Sefer Divrei Yomim, l'seis menas l'koinim alevim l'man yachziku b'toras Hashem. That the description here of the coin who's now going to receive your truma is someone who's Yachziku b'toras Hashem. That's the person to whom you can give truma or chal. But Misha'enu machzik b'toras Hashem, he's not b'chezkas chaver, we don't give him truma. But in chalas chutzot muto loses afil l'koin ha'ma'oretz, she'enu mishaveres b'taro. Even l'chatchil you're allowed in chutzot to give a koin ha'ma'oretz, and that's how the Rambam paskens.
Nowadays, we don't give it.
I mean, right. We don't give it at all. We just burn it. Because
right,
we're all Tame. You know? But back in the day, there were those Kohenim who were Tahorim. Again, especially in Chutzla, it's very difficult to be careful about Tahara. But there were Kohenim who were, and therefore they gave the challah to the Kohen. We don't give challah to a Kohen because it's we're all Betumah, so you're not going to gain anything. Now, I just want to say, it's not for us now, because this is really a sugya in challah, that Tosfos is of a slightly different opinion. Everything that we expressed here is Rashi and the Rambam. Tosfos, on the other hand, holds that even in challahs chutzatz, we don't give it to a kohen ha'ma'aretz. However, he says the following. The nafkamina between chalas eretz yisrael and chalas chutzlats in terms of the choice of the kohen to whom you give the chala is whether or not you have a certain flexibility. Tosfos assumes that chalas chutzlats lechatchila make sure that he's a chaver. But Tosfos says, let's say I don't find a chaver now. I know that in a month's time, you know, Joe Cohen, who's coming in from Vilna, he's coming to Bialystok. I know he's a chaver. So he says the following: how far do we have to go here? Do we have to wait and postpone the giving of the challah, or can we give it to our local Kohanim who are not bechezkas chaver? He says, in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to wait until you find the Kohen who's a Chaver. But in Chutz La'aretz, if right now he doesn't find the Kohen who's a Chaver, then he's allowed to give, under those circumstances, his Challah to an Ama'aretz. Whereas Rashi and the Rambam say there's no problem in Chutz La'aretz. You don't even have to look for a Kohen. You don't even have to try to find a Kohen. Tosfos says that in Chutz La'aretz you have to try to find a Kohen who's a Chaver. But the other Rishonim say you don't even need to do so. Now let's get back to our issue of Halal, because that's the main topic for today. And we said the following. That in this mission, it's crystal clear that the Chachamim never made a gzera as far as Isra Achilas Chalas Chutz La'aretz for a Zar of Halal Ashulchan, that maybe the Zar will come to eat the Chal. So in Chutz La'aretz, we're not worried about halal. We're only concerned with achila. So the Iser Derabbanan, the Gzeirah Derabbanan, was formulated in terms of achila, and it was never formulated to include halal. Halal was always viewed as a separate category, and to which we apply the principle of aim goes from gzeirah to gzeirah. Then how can we allow halal if it's going to lead to achila, and achila itself is a gzeirah? The answer is we're going to allow halal because that itself is a gzeirah, that maybe you'll eat it. And even in the worst case scenario, if you eat it, that itself is a gzeirah because you might come to eat chalas Eretz Yisrael. So that's called aim goes from gzeirah to gzeirah, that halal clearly is a separate gzeirah. There's no way that you can define the original gzeirah of achila, the isra achila in chalas chutzarts, as including halal. It wasn't swallowed up in the original gzeirah. And if that be the case, let's apply the same logic to halas basar of ima gvina al shulchan echad. If of itself, the achila of of, is the rabbanon, and that's gzeirah to basar behema, then what are you telling me? We're going to add another piece here, another gzeirah of halal, which might lead to achila. Halal is already a separate entity. And if it's a separate gzeirah, and it's not including the original isra achila, then it would be a violation of the principle of ain goes with gzeirah to gzeirah. That's Rabbi Yosef. So again, it took us about a half hour to explain Rabbi Yosef, but it's beautiful. Now the challenge is to explain Abaye who rejects Rabbi Yosef. Only Abaye. Okay. Now, in order to understand Abaye, we have to say the following. That when you talk about halal, so let me point this out. Abaye knows very well that ein gozrin gzeira l'gzeira. Nobody questions that principle. The only issue is, what about halal? Is halal a separate gzeirah? If it's halal a separate gzeirah, as Rav Yosef proves from Chala, then we cannot justify our Mishnah and the gzeirah of halal's of with gvina on the same shulchan unless we assume that of itself is doraisa and it's not a gzeirah. Abaye apparently wants to hold that ein achinami basar of is the Rabbanon, so the Achila itself is the Rabbanon, but Allah is included in that Isra Achila. But what's he going to do with Chalas Chutzlites? Do you follow? So I'm making basically three points here. Point number one is that Abaye adopts, he embraces the principle of Ein Goes Min Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. Nobody questions that. Point number two, Abaye insists that our Mishnah holds, like we saw in Rav Ashi, that Basar Of Becholv is only the Rabbanon. That's a Gzeirah that you might come to eat basar behema. And therefore, within the context of that principle, Abaye is going to have to insist that when the Rabbanan made this enactment, this gzeirah of achila, they included halal within. Halal is not a separate gzeirah. That leads me to point number three. Well, what are we going to do with the Mishnah of Challah? Because the Mishnah of Challah, as we clarified, is predicated on the assumption that halal is included, I'm sorry, that halal is a separate gzeirah, and hence we would not institute an Isra halal atu chalas chutzot atu adrabon, because that would be a violation of gzeirah l'gzeirah. So how do we reconcile this? In the case of basar of, we're going to say that halal is part of the Isra achila, and it's not a separate entity. It's not a separate gzeirah on halal. It's swallowed up in the original formulation of achila. But in the case of chalas chutz laretz, now we're going to say that halal is a separate entity. I mean, take your choice. You take your pick. It's either halal is part of achila or it's halal is separate. So Abaye is going to tell us that you could only include halal in the original gzeirah if that gzeirah could make sense. What do I mean could make sense? That there is some sort of realistic possibility that you might come to violate an Isur d'oraisa. So Abaye is going to say the following. If you will eat chalas chutz laretz, eat it. That's going to be a problem, because then you might come to eat chalas Eretz Yisrael. But to say that if you put the challah of chutz laretz on the same table, you'll come to violate chalas Eretz Yisrael, that's not shaykh. It couldn't have been that the Rabbanan would expand the scope of the Iser Achila of Chalas Chutz La'aretz to include Halah as well. That was an impossibility. Why? Amar Abaye, Bishleima Yashme'inan Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Let's say, for example, which is what I'm about to tell you is an impossibility, but just in a conceptual world, I would get on a plane from New York to Ben Gurion Airport, and I'm carrying in my suitcase, it's not a security issue, I'm carrying Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Okay? So let's say, for example, I gave my Chalas Chutz La'aretz to a Kohen, and this Kohen is now on his way to Israel. So he's bringing Chalas Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Can I, let's say I'm the Kohen, right? Can I, as a Kohen, invite a Zar to eat with me in Eretz Yisrael, Chalas Chutz La'aretz? Can I put it on the table? And here, Ikal Amigzar, Mishum Chalas Ha'aretz Doraisa, there is a possibility that if you put it on the table, which means please eat this, he may come to eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael, but he may come to violate the Doraisa. And if in such a case you find a Mishnah somewhere which says that you're allowed to do such a thing, a Kohen in Eretz Yisrael is allowed to invite a Zar to eat Chalas Chutz La'aretz with him, and Lo Gazrino, then Ikal Mishma Mine. Then I tip my hat to you, Rav Yosef, and you have a great proof. This would indicate that even in the case of Halah, we apply the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzeil Gzeil. El Chutz La'aretz, but that's not the subject of that Mishnah. The Mishnah is not talking about a Kohen who flew on an El Al plane with Chalas Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. That's not the case. The case is that in New York, he's inviting a Kohen to sit with him on the table where the Kohen is eating Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Is Mishum Delekel Amigzarhu? The reason why Halah is not included in Chalas Chutz La'aretz in Chutz La'aretz is because in Chutz La'aretz there's no possibility that through Halah he might come to violate the Doraisa, because the Doraisa only applies to Chalas Eretz Yisrael. There is no Chalas Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz. Now, why is there no Chalas Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz? That's because of a separate Isur that you're not allowed to bring Chalas Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to take it outside of the bounds of Eretz Yisrael. So let's accept that principle, axiomatic, that there's no Chalas Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz. So when the Mishnah is addressing a situation of a table in Manhattan, and you're inviting the Kohen is inviting a Yisrael to eat on his table in Manhattan, and the Kohen is eating Chalas Chutz La'aretz, then there's no possibility in such a scenario that there will be a violation of the Iser of Zoros with regard to the Doraisa of Chalas Eretz Yisrael, because it just taint any Chalas Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz. It's just a non-entity. It doesn't exist. So says Abaye, if this Mishnah would have been addressing the following scenario, is a Kohen who's carrying Chalas Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael allowed to invite a Zar to eat at his table, and you would tell me that he's allowed to do so, that would be a clear-cut proof that Halah is a separate entity. And Ein Gozrin Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. Why? Because you're afraid that if he comes to eat on this table, he might eat the challah. Well, the challah itself is only Chalas Chutz La'aretz. But maybe if he eats Chalas Chutz La'aretz, he'll come to eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael. That's logical. You know, that's a Gzeirah L'Gzeirah, but it's logical because then there's a possibility that he might eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael because we're in Lud. So you can eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael in Lud. And now you're going to tell me, no, the Kohen is allowed to invite the Yisrael to his table in Lud because he's only eating Chalas Chutz La'aretz, which he carried in his El Al package there. That would be a proof that Halah is a separate entity. Meaning, Abai is saying in such a scenario, for sure Halah would be also. Why? Because if we allow Achilas Chalas Chutz La'aretz, he's going to come to eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael. If we allow Halah's Chalas Chutz La'aretz, he's going to come to eat Chalas Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Chalas Yisrael is an entity. It's available. But in Chutz La'aretz, that's the subject of the Mishnah. If the Kohen is inviting a Yisrael to eat at his table in Chutz La'aretz, the Kohen is eating Chalas Chutz La'aretz, well, what's the possibility here that through Halah he's going to come to violate the Issur Zoros of Chalas Eretz Yisrael? It's not available. There is no Chalas Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz. Aval hacha. But what about the case of of begvina? Isharisle lasuke. If you're allowed to take it up, of begvina on the same table. Asi lasuke basar begvina. He doesn't make any distinction between of and boss. So he's going to say, well, you allowed me to put Of and Gvina on the same table. Tomorrow I'm going to put Gidi and Cholam on the same table. And then Asi Lasuke Gamasam Ula Mechel Basar Bacholov Dorais. And at this point, he may come to eat Basar Bacholov Dorais. Why? Because whatever you put on the table is something that he's going to eat together. So if you put both this and that on the same table, now he's not distinguishing between Of in his mind and Behema. So even though Of is only Darabanan, it doesn't matter because Of and Behema are interchangeable in his mind. Well, you're allowing me to put them both on the same table. That's Gvina and Of. Then I'm going to put Basa Behema and Chalav and Gvina on the same table. And that's going to mean that that's an invitation to eat them together. And the bottom line here is that in the Maskona, Abai is saying that Halah is part and parcel of the Gzera of Achila, but only in a case where Halah / Achila could culminate in a violation of a Doraisa, which means Basar B'chol. But in the case of Chalas Chutzlar, it's in Chutzlar, there's no possibility of culminating in a violation of an Issa Doraisa. We know tomorrow we'll expand upon this a little bit more, but that's enough for today. Okay, then, thank you so much.
Is it?
Shabbos?
Any Durabana.
Oh, an Issa Durabana. It could sit below.
I'm sorry. No. Issa Durabana. No, I said Halacha Durabana. Issa Durabana. If you do Beshoge, is there an Avera if you did it by Beshoge?
Oh, that's a profound question. The Nesivis, who lived about almost 200 years ago, he was of the opinion that there's no such thing as an Avera Beshogeg on a Drabbana. Why? I mean, he has a whole conceptual framework. He says that every Issa Drabbana means, if I violate it deliberately, it means that I'm scoffing at the authority of the Chacham.
Right, because that's the source of...
Correct. Misul Ishmael Direi Chacham. And here he's not willing to pay attention to the Rabbanan. That only applies in Mezin, but not in Shogeg.